Well, hey, Sanctuary Church, it's always good to be with you, albeit virtually this time around. My name is Ben Thompson, and I am a pastor here in Columbus that's actually currently helping people find their way into the foster care and adoption world. I work for a foster care and adoption agency. So I love Sanctuary Church. I love your commitment to justice and to thinking through things in terms of dismantling systemic racism. And so I can say honestly and unequivocally that the foster care system is a justice issue with substantial disparity when it comes to race. But that's a sermon for another day, or maybe a meeting over coffee if you want to take next steps in learning a little bit more. I've spent quite a bit of time in this world. Anyways, y'all are working through the different types of psalms this summer and seeking to cultivate a contemplative posture of prayer. So today I want to talk for a few minutes, and then I'm going to challenge you to apply the message on the spot and list 100 things you're thankful for. So if you want, could you just go grab a piece of paper and pen, hit pause, I'll be here when you get back, but hit pause and grab that so that at the end of this service I can guide you through kind of a process of thanksgiving. Anyways, what I'm hoping to accomplish in this little message is to give you two things that keep us from enjoying the loving presence of God, our Father, and then one thing that we can do to combat this, and then you guys will get to go work on your 100 list and hopefully walk out today with something memorable about the power of Jesus. So I want to walk you through my own message prep this week. I sat down to write the message this past week. I sat down in the corner of a coffee shop as I typically do. I pulled my laptop out and I put my headphones in and I went to BibleGateway.com and I typed in Psalm 107, our psalm for today, and I started reading. And on the left of my screen is this advertisement for a new probiotic for gut health. We had just ordered some probiotics on Amazon not too long ago, so the algorithm thought I should know of a new product that had been made by the same folks who made the old one, just in case we wanted to order those too. Creepy stalkers. Yes, that's the internet. But then Planet Fitness interrupted my power sermon writing playlist on Spotify with an ad about getting to the gym. And truth be told, I just had a piece of lemon poppy seed coffee cake and a latte, so I heard the body shaming loud and clear. So I had to adjust my playlist. I added Lizzo to my Power Sermon writing playlist to help me get my swagger back. And then a little ad for a 2021 Chevy truck popped up. Shayna and I had been talking about both of our cars being over 10 years old and that we needed to be thinking about when is the time to get a new car. Do we just keep paying to nickel and dime, keep these cars running, or like it looks like the car market is insane pricing-wise right now? What do we do? What's the timeline? So I started thinking about that. Thank you, Chevy truck ad. Then a Lowe's home improvement ad came onto my headphones, reminded me that we really should get moving on that kitchen reno that we've been talking about, but I suppose we should finish the bathroom reno first since we started that last Labor Day and we're still working on it. And maybe we should probably put some pictures on the wall. We've been in our home for 3 years and we still don't have any pictures on the wall. Hashtag small children, choose your battles. But all these house projects form this to-do list in my brain, and I wonder if I should just kind of pause here and quick just do this to-do list on my laptop. And then I look back down at my laptop, and there on the Bible Gateway website, just above the probiotics, there's this picture of kids in a developing country who look impoverished, and they look sad, and the ad says that they need more Bibles, and $7 would get a sad kid a Bible in their language. And then I remembered, ah, yes, the Bible. That's what I'm supposed to be doing in the first place. Psalm 107 is what I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to center on. And I remembered just in time to get my mind off of feeling bad for sad kids who don't have Bibles. And the rest of the message writing that whole day was just kind of this similar process. Now, you might take a look at my sermon writing process and have some immediate critique. You've got music playing, your laptop open, and you're surrounded by people in a busy coffee shop. Maybe you shouldn't have so many things going on. Seems like you could be easily distracted, you might say. How can you center in on God's voice above all and hear what he's trying to say to you that you might say to the people when you've got so many other things going on? And while we're at it, you might say, do you really need a new car and a kitchen reno right now? It seems like you're putting some artificial pressure on yourself right now. What is with all this discontent? And I'd appreciate your critique, but maybe what I'd do in response is hold up a mirror and say, yeah, you're right. Look at your life, where distraction has crept in and where discontentment has stolen your present joy. Here's what I know, church. Being with God is not easy, especially for 21st century Americans. I think perhaps the two biggest wedges or barriers between us and the rich connection to the divine are distraction and discontent. When I started in my sermon writing process this week, I could not believe how scattered my mind was. Maybe it's just me who goes from sitting down to read the scriptures to making housing to-do lists to Chevy trucks to probiotics with gut health. Distraction is all over the place, especially with these little screens we can hold in our hands, right? And for a long time, I read the Bible on my phone. It's so convenient. There's apps and Bible reading plans, and they even give me badges when I read a certain number of days in a row. It's exhilarating. And there are times, though, that I catch myself going from a psalm that I'm reading in meditation and prayer to suddenly I'm scrolling on Insta, and I catch myself picking up the phone over and over and opening social media for the 8th time in 30 minutes and scrolling mindlessly. Like, most of the people that I follow are people just like you, friends in Columbus. And no offense, but none of you are that interesting that I need to keep up with you every 30 minutes. One of the best and worst things ever about the more recent iPhone updates is that they can send weekly reports now on how much I'm using the phone per day. And there are weeks that I can spend 4 or 5 hours attached to this thing. And I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm also like very aware of how useful it is. Now, most weeks I have a legit amount on my calendar. But I'm not too busy for this contemplative path, this being in the presence of God. I'm not too busy. I'm too distracted. And discontent, oh my. I had a colleague share an excerpt from the book Matt Haig just wrote called Trying to Stay Alive. It rang so true to me. I haven't read the book, truth be told, but so I don't know if it's worth reading, but the author nailed at least these two paragraphs, so I thought I'd share it with you today. The world is increasingly designed to depress us. Happiness isn't very good for the economy. If we were happy with what we had, why would we need more? How do you sell anti-aging moisturizer? You make someone worry about aging. How do you get people to vote for a political party? You make them worry about immigration. How do you get them to buy insurance? By making them worry about everything. How do you get them to have plastic surgery? By highlighting their physical flaws. How do you get them to watch a TV show? By making them worry about missing out. How do you get them to buy a new smartphone? By making them feel like they are being left behind. Hear this. To be calm becomes a kind of revolutionary act. To be happy with your own non-upgraded existence, to be comfortable with our messy human selves would not be good for business. Discontent rots your soul. It spits in the face of the goodness of God. It leads to a striving that makes the then and there always superior to the here and now. It robs you of calm. It robs you of peace. It robs you of relationship. And we are living in a world that thrives on exploiting your discontent. If you're single, you should be dating. If you're dating, you should be married. If you're married, you should have kids. If you have kids, you should be giving them every opportunity you never had. If you're renting, you should be homeowning. If you're homeowning, you should be doing home improvement projects so you can sell and move into a bigger home in a better neighborhood with the better schools. If you're a student, you should get these grades and you should get these internship experiences so you can get these jobs, so you can have this kind of life, and so you can retire in this kind of way so that you can enjoy your twilight years in peace and enjoyment, except you get there and you're either dead or you've got no one to enjoy it with because you never cultivated a sense of contentment and joy and meaningful purpose in your life. This is what Jesus calls gaining the world and losing your soul. Distraction and discontentment are two of the biggest, if not the two biggest, barriers between us and meaningful connection to God. And the way we need to combat distraction and discontentment is to weaponize gratitude. We need to think of giving thanks as resistance. Resistance to distraction, resistance to discontentment. The way the Psalms point us to God over and over and over again is through giving thanks. The pathway to the presence of God is your gratitude. If you picked up on it on Psalm 107, it's a long psalm, but I want you to spend time just reading the whole thing if you haven't done it already. Because over and over in that passage, it starts with the first verse, give thanks to the Lord. But then over and over, after it talks about all these different circumstances, the good and the bad, the fruitful and the dry, all these places where we're in the desert and then pools of in the desert are formed and we can actually be nourished. In each of these circumstances, the psalmist comes back to thanksgiving. It's this constant reminder we have to train ourselves or retrain ourselves or reprogram ourselves to give thanks in a weaponized fashion. To know that this is the battle for our souls, and if we're not careful, we might let our souls slip away. Let our souls become distracted and discontent with the very things that God has brought goodness to in our midst. You notice when I say give thanks, I'm not saying be thankful. In fact, over and over in the scriptures, it gives the command or the instruction or the encouragement to give thanks. In the New Testament, it says give thanks continuously. Like this ongoing, weaponized, combative approach to distraction and discontentment is constant thanksgiving. But it doesn't say feel thankful, because if I'm honest, I don't always feel thankful. It's funny, I'm on my back patio right now. The kids are asleep. This is my window of quiet to be able to to share this message. And my neighbor over that way actually has a bug zapper in his backyard, and it's gone off a couple of times. I don't know if you can hear it, but that's how I am, like a bug to a light or to a flame. I am like that when I think about the negative things, the suffering, the hard things in my life and in the world. I am just like moth to flame. That's what I want to fixate on. And it's so easy to just let your life fall in, cave in on that bad stuff, the hard stuff. And yet the encouragement for us is, no, don't fixate there. Fixate on gratitude. Yes, not everything's perfect. Yes, there's a lot to be concerned about in our day, in our world, in our families, our friendships, our relationships, our workplaces, whatever it might be. Yes, there's a lot that can occupy our headspace, but there's so much good to praise Him for. Gratitude is a weapon. Thanksgiving is resistance. And that's what I want to invite us to today, is whether you feel thankful or not, I want to invite you, challenge you to come up with 100 things, because even though maybe 1, 2, 5, even 10 things are not going great right now in your life, I guarantee if you start disciplining your mind and your heart toward this weaponized gratitude, you're going to realize how much good is in your midst. And so I want to walk you through briefly just some ways to break up the 100 ways of giving thanks so that you don't feel overwhelmed by this assignment. So the first thing, just your first 10 could be 10 things about God. Maybe they're things that you've read in the scriptures or things that you've experienced. Maybe you know Him to be faithful. Maybe you know and are thankful for His forgiveness because you've been in the pit and He's forgiven rebellious things in you. The list could go on and on. What do you know about God? Then, after you do those 10, you can keep pausing this as you make your list, but then let's do 10 things or people in your church. What are 10 things you love about your church, or 10 people who have been there for you in your church? Then, again, you can pause this all the times that you need. After you do that list of 10, do 10 people in your family. And it might be some of the people that are pretty frustrating, but if you actually see them through the lens Jesus sees them through, then it's like, wow, I am thankful for them. They're crazy. They drive me crazy, but I'm thankful for them. 10 people in your family. And then 5 places that have been really important to you in your life. They could be towns, cities, they could be vacations or places that you experienced God. Or for me, one place is this back patio I'm sitting on right now, the amount of conversations that we've had with people over meals on this patio has been sacred space. So that's one for me. Another is we spent some time in Kenya, and just the relationships and the beauty of that country, and just the resilience of a generation to raise these grandmothers who are taking in all these orphans in parts of some villages because of HIV and AIDS. And so just a powerful place in my life to remind me of, like, wow, there is so much we take for granted. And there's so many good and beautiful and content people. And I have so much to learn about contentment from my friends there. After you list those 5 places that are important to you, how about 5 hard things that you've grown from? I think about my daughter having a heart attack when she was 10 weeks old. I think about my dad passing away while I gave him CPR. Like, those are brutal moments, seismic moments in my life, but God met me in the mess of those. So five hard things you've grown from. And after that, five things that you have or have gotten to do. So maybe some possessions that you're really thankful for, or some opportunities that you're like, I can't believe I got to do that or meet that person or something like that. And then five things about being an American, five things about living in this country. Being American is loaded right now. It seems like a very divided topic, but there's still goodness here, even in the midst of the divisiveness and the tension in our country. So what are those things for you? And after that, five ways that you have been or are being changed. And I put that D in parentheses. So you could be actually a change agent, where you're actually joining God and doing a work in the world or in somebody's life, and you're investing, and so you're actually helping bring change. Or maybe it's ways that you've been formed or are being formed right now that God's doing work in you. So what are five ways that you've been changed? Now we'll keep going. 10 things about Columbus, the city. Sure, drivers in Columbus is probably not one that you are going to give thanks for, but maybe there's some good ones besides that one, right? So, like, what do you love? I love the food scene. I love, like, the almost idolatrous allegiance to Ohio State football. Like, the list can go on and on. Give thanks for 10 things about the city that you call home. After that, 10 basic ways that your needs are being met today. Today, like, wow, breath in my lungs. I woke up in a bed with a roof over my head, right? Just start listing the simple ways that God is meeting your needs. Give thanks. After your basic needs, then 5 things about you that you love. Like, this is a chance for some humble brag time, right? Like, hey, what? How you got it going on? Or what have you overcome? Or, like, what are you good at? Like, just kind of say, like, yeah, I'm thankful that I have these talents or these experiences or these skills. And after that, 5 people who have invested in you. It could be a parent. It could be a teacher. It could be just a someone in your workplace who's seen something in you or developed you. And then after that, 5 people who are not like you. You have a multiracial church right here. And so that, the beauty of trying to work this out together, brings people from different vantage points, different political persuasions, different races, ethnicities, and so on. So who are 5 people who are not like you that you want to give thanks for today? We're almost there. 5 silly or guilty pleasures you enjoy. Like, goofy things out there. I like a glass of bourbon. I just enjoy the flavor of bourbon and the history of bourbon. I geek out about that. I also like Marvel superheroes. Don't judge me. It's cool stuff. And last but not least, 5 people God is calling you to right now. Like, who is he orchestrating in your life that you're supposed to invest in, connect with, build up, encourage? And you may not have those, like, obvious answers. This might be a time just to listen and see what names come up. Like, who are you supposed to reach out to today? And you can build your list that way. So you just got 100 prompts, basically, on how to give thanks. I hope you find it easier than you expected. And I encourage you to continue to think about how to weaponize gratitude in your life, because while you were thinking about all those things that have been good, have been blessings, have formed you, have been people in your life that have mattered, while you were fixated on those things and giving thanks to those, it really pushed to the side the distraction. It really pushed to the side the discontentment of things not being all that they could be. Do you see how when we fixate on Jesus, the author and perfecter of all things, everything else is thrown to the wayside? I encourage you, resist by giving thanks. Have a great day. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face be made to shine upon you. You are loved more than you know. Take care.